RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Back to Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. We join Raymond for another Inner Sanctum mystery this week. The series took to the air in January of 1941 over the Blue Network and would broadcast 526 times by October of 1952. Our story today is from May 16th, 1949. It's titled The Unburied Dead.
Well, what's the trouble?
My husband, he's gone.
You mustn't excite yourself.
Well, he was sitting right here next to me where you are now.
You're mistaken.
There wasn't any man sitting next to you. I've been in this chair since this morning.
Well, you know, that's just not true. Ralph was here.
Look, you're ill. I'd better take you to the ship's doctor.
No, please.
But you're not well.
I know what I'm saying. My husband was sitting in that chair, and I've got to find him.
Your husband isn't on this boat.
That's a lie. He is, too.
Well, why would I want to lie to him?
Well, I don't know, but you're trying to hide something. He disappeared, and you're trying to hide it from me.
You're just upset. You don't remember.
Remember? What are you talking about?
You don't remember me, do you? You don't remember that my name is Mrs. Ferris.
Ferris? I never saw you before in my life.
You don't remember that we met on the pier, that we came aboard the ship together, Mrs. Jensen.
Jensen? My name isn't Jensen. You're mistaken. My name is Kramer. Claire Kramer. And excuse me, I've got to find my husband.
He isn't on this boat.
He is.
Mrs. Jensen, look at the dress you're wearing.
This isn't my dress. It's black. I never wear black.
Don't you remember telling me that your husband is dead?
My head started to spin. And then I felt a sharp pain as I tumbled into a bottomless pit. When I came to, I was lying in a bed in a room that was all white. And next to the bed, there was a table with surgical instruments on it.
All right, here, drink this.
Who are you?
I'm the ship's physician, Dr. Ferris.
Ferris? Her name was Ferris.
My wife, she brought you here. You had an accident.
An accident?
Yes, you fainted up on deck.
You're in it, too, you and your wife. Let me out of here.
Well, first, you must rest.
No, let me out of here. I've got to find my husband, Ralph.
Your husband is dead. You told my wife he died 6 months ago.
No, I didn't. This is a trick.
Now,
you're trying to...
Mrs. Denson.
My name isn't Denson. It's Kramer. What are you two trying to do to me? Why don't you let me find my husband?
Please take this medicine. It will...
Oh, no! Oh, no, I am not going to take it. I'm not.
Now, try to understand, Mrs. Denson. I only want to help.
No, you don't. You're lying just like your wife did. You're trying to keep me away from Ralph, but he's on the ship someplace. I can prove it. He was with me when we came aboard in New York.
It's just your nerves, Mrs. Denson. This boat didn't sail from New York. It left Liverpool 5 days ago.
Liverpool? 5 days ago? Oh, no, that isn't true.
We dock in New York tomorrow. Here. Here's your passport book. Look at it. Your passport with your name.
Well, there. That proves it. That picture, that's not me. That's another woman.
Here. Look in this mirror. You see?
My face. What have you done to me? What happened to my face?
Why, nothing. When you fainted up on deck, you fell and cut your chin. I had to put in a few stitches.
Oh, no, no, it's my whole face. It's different. You've changed it. You've changed my whole face. I was lost. A woman with a different face. Lost in time and identity. I found out that the ship was to arrive in New York. But then where had I been? What had happened to me, and where was my husband Ralph? The questions hammered against my brain until it ached. The next day, the ship docked in New York. I went straight to my house. I had no key, so I rang the bell and waited. The door was opened by a large, red-faced woman. A woman I had never seen before.
Yes?
Who are you?
What is it your business?
Answer me. Tell me who you are.
Wait. I'm the housekeeper.
Don't lie to me. We never had a housekeeper.
Now, look.
What are you doing here? Who hired you? Just a moment. It was Dr. Ferris and his wife. They had you come here, didn't they?
I don't see why I should answer your questions.
Well, you'd better answer them. If you don't, I'll call the police.
The police? That's a good idea. Why don't you call them?
I will. But first, you're going to tell me where my husband is.
Your husband? You must have the wrong address.
Well, this is 29 Pine Street, isn't it?
That's right.
And Mr. Ralph Kramer lives here.
Yes, Mr. Kramer lives here.
Oh, no, that believes me. Now they'll see that he isn't dead.
You're talking about...
Now I can prove it was all a trick to keep me away from him.
Look, I don't know who you are.
Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm Mrs. Ralph Kramer.
What?
That's right, Mrs. Kramer. Where's my husband?
Maybe you'd better call the police after all.
Hmm?
The police can settle a thing like this.
Settle? What are you trying to say?
Just this. Mr. Kramer is being married Tuesday.
What?
He's being married Tuesday. Mr. Kramer doesn't have a wife yet.
I left the house and walked blindly down the street. She said Ralph was being married Tuesday. She said he didn't have a wife.
Well, if he didn't have a wife, then who was I? Who was this person who wore black? This person with a different face? This person was my brain. When I came to the corner of the block, the car stopped.
Hey, lady, you ought to look where you're going.
What?
Not the rich, and I would have hit. Hey, you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
You look kind of funny, like you were sick.
I'm all right.
Can I give you a lift?
I'm going downtown, yes, to the Wentworth building.
Hop in, I'm going right past you.
Thank you.
Wentworth building, huh?
Yes, my husband's office is there.
I see. What are you doing at 29 Pine Street?
29 Pine... How did you know I was there?
I was watching you.
What?
Just keeping my eyes open.
You were following me. You purposely tried to run me over.
Oh, no. No, I just wanted to get you in the car.
Go in with them, with Dr. Ferris and his wife.
Dr. Ferris? Never heard of him.
If you don't stop this car and let me out, I'll scream.
Go ahead. Scream your lungs out.
There's a policeman down at the next corner. He'll hear me.
You don't need the cop on the corner. You're talking to one right now.
What?
Plain clothes, homicide division. Keith is the name.
Are you a policeman, really?
Really.
Well, then why were you following me?
Following certain people's my business. Your face looked kind of familiar.
Oh, then you know me.
Think I do.
Oh, thank heaven you know who I am. Now I can prove that I live at 29 Pine Street.
You live at 29 Pine? Who are you kidding? That's Ralph Kramer's place.
Yes, and I'm Claire Kramer.
How's that?
I'm Ralph Kramer's wife.
Try again, lady, and this time no lie. This time I want to hear the truth.
But I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me?
Why? Because I happen to know where Claire Kramer is right now.
I'm Claire.
I saw her grave just the other day.
Her grave?
Mm-hmm. She's in the same cemetery as my brother. Claire's been buried there for 6 years.
This was too good. His remarks were too sure. As if he'd been hired to say them. They were all in it together, trying to frighten me. Trying to keep me away from Ralph. I was almost sure Keith wasn't a detective, but I had to be positive. I had to catch him in a lie. By the time I got out to the cemetery, it was dark. I walked along the deserted path, flashing my light as I passed the gravestone.
Hello? I've been waiting here for you.
I turned my flashlight on his face. It was Keith. His lips were twisted in a sly smile.
Is this what you were looking for?
I sent the beam of light in the direction he pointed. The shock ripped through me like a knife of fire. What I saw wasn't believable.
Well, there it is. You were satisfied now, lady?
It was a tombstone, and the letters carved on it said, Claire Kramer, died May
13th, 1943. That Claire Kramer is kind of dumb, isn't she? Doesn't know herself from a corpse in the ground. Still, it has it out rugged to come face to face with your own tombstone. Yeah, it's enough to kill you. Claire's what you might call a real dead-end town. And hey, talking about her face, looks like somebody cut up her nose despite her life. You think Claire's been having a tough time, do you? Well, hold on to your coffin handles and see how things can go from bad to hurt.
I stared at the tombstone, not believing what I saw. The words on it said I was dead, that I died 6 years ago. I came to the man who called himself Detective Keith.
You satisfied now, lady?
It can't be. I'm alive. Can't you see that I'm alive? I'm not Barry Zimmer. That's someone else in that grave.
Come on, you go with me.
Where are you taking me?
You'll find out soon enough.
But what do you want with me? What have I done?
Killed a man, maybe.
What?
Here. Look at this police circular. Found it in my car a minute after I let you go. I knew I saw you someplace before. Now go ahead, look at it.
Wanted for murder?
Mm-hmm. And the picture there is yours, or your twin sister's.
That's not possible.
Come on, let's go.
Wait, wait, can't you understand? I'm not this woman in the circular.
Pictures don't lie.
I'm not her. I may look
your
like her, but I'm not.
Settle it. We've got her fingerprints on the circular. All I have to do to check is get yours. Now let's go. Hey, wait.
I got my stuff loose from the grave. Then I got up and ran. I ran as fast as I could. I took the side road back to town. I ran and then I walked. I walked and walked, holding my wounded arm with rubber, losing blood all the time. Then I saw the shingle outside of the house, Dr. Bennett. By the time I staggered into his office, I was nearly fainting. But I was lucky the doctor was alone.
There you are, Mrs. Kramer. You'll be all right now.
Thank you, Dr. Bennett.
You still haven't told me how you happened to get that wound.
Oh, no, I didn't. Well, I was carrying a jar.
No. Mrs. Kramer, it wasn't a jar.
But
the bullet was still lodged in your arm. Who shot you?
I don't know his name.
I have to report this, you know. You better tell me the truth.
I am telling you the truth. Doctor, do you know anything about fingerprints?
A little. Why?
Well, look. Look at the fingerprints on this circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And now, look at the ones in my hand. Would you say they're the same?
Yes, I would. Of course, I'm no expert.
Neither am I. But I can see now those are my fingerprints on the circuit. The same scar on the right thumb. Somebody's done a perfect job of making me look like a murderer.
Mrs. Kramer, I'm afraid I must report this to the police and let it go at that.
I couldn't let him do it. He had his back to me. I lifted the paperweight from his desk. Just as I raised my hand, he turned.
Mrs. Kramer, go!
He dropped to the floor and I bent over him. As I listened to his uneven breathing, a roaring thought drove through my mind.
Kill him!
That thundered. You are a murderer!
Kill him! Kill him! I brought the paperweight up and I struck him again.
Now I really was what they made me. A murderer. I had to hide. I couldn't go to see my husband Ralph until I was sure I'd be safe. I went to a town across the state line and I hired a room in a cheap hotel. For 3 days, I only left the room to eat. It was on the fourth day that it happened. I had just come back from dinner and closed the door behind me.
Hello?
As he got up from the chair and came toward me, I reached for the gun in my purse.
Don't need that gun, Claire. There isn't a cop within a mile of this place.
Who are you?
Don't you remember little old Max? You know, Claire, I never thought I'd see you again. Now, when I read about it in the papers, I knew you'd come to this flea bag to hold up. Why did you do it?
I couldn't help myself. He was going to turn me over to the police.
Oh, you got me wrong. I'm not talking about the doctor. I mean Steve.
Steve?
Hey, what's the matter with you? You act like you're off your rocker. I don't blame you for knocking off Steve. That louse had it coming.
Steve?
Yeah, he had it coming to him good.
Hey, what are you looking at me that way for?
I'm just trying to think.
Well, you should have done some thinking before you buried Steve's body where you did. They found it 2 days later.
I better go out of here.
Don't be a chump. You'll get mad.
I better take that chance. Have you got a car?
Yeah, sure I got a car, but you take advice from little
if
old...
You're my friend, really, my friend. You'll help me.
Well, I was always on your team, Claire. Name it. Where do you want
to
go?
Back to Mason City. I've got to see my husband. We drove back across the state line to Mason City, to my house on Pine Street. Max waited in the car. The house was dark, except for a light in the study. I stood on the terrace outside the fence doors, and Ralph was sitting in the room alone, reading a book. I opened the doors quietly. I tried not to frighten him. Ralph? Ralph?
Who's that? So dark here, I can't...
It's Claire. I've come back.
Claire?
I've come back, Ralph.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
Oh, darling, darling, don't you recognize
me? Get out of this house. Get out before I call
you. Ralph, listen to me.
I said get
I've
out.
I've got to make you understand I'm your wife.
My wife is dead. Now, either you get
Ralph,
out
of... listen to me. You mustn't believe what they've been telling you. They wanted you to think that I was dead, but believe me, I am your wife. I'm Claire.
Claire is dead. I've never seen you before, never in all my life. Claire Kramer died 6 years ago.
Oh, then you're in on it, too.
In on it? What are you talking about?
Tomorrow is Tuesday, isn't it? The housekeeper told me. That's the day you're being married.
That's right. What about it?
Now I know. Now I understand. You never did love me. Never really. Now I know who's to blame for all those terrible things I've been through. No! Put that phone down.
I never argue with a lady. Especially when she has a gun in her hand.
It's all so funny, isn't it? You had it all planned, didn't you? You wanted to marry someone else. You wanted me out of the way. But then why didn't you have him kill me? It would have been better for me to be dead than to be like this. It would have been wonderful to be really dead.
I don't know what's in your mind.
What's in my mind? I'll tell you. Thank me, Ralph. Thank me for being kinder than you were to me. Max came into the house when he heard the shot. I had him carry the body to his car. As we headed out of town, a heavy rain started to fall. I had no destination in mind, but an unseen force seemed to control my hand on the wheel. It guided me around one turn after another, until at last we came to a deserted stretch along the railroad track. I stopped the car and got out. Then I took the jack handle from the trunk and started to dig up the soft dirt.
Hey, Claire, what do you think you're doing?
There's no time for questions. Help me. I'm going to bury the body here.
Are you nuts?
We've got to hide his body, Max.
But not here. Don't you remember this place? Don't it look familiar to you?
Familiar? Yes, I think it does, but I can't quite remember.
Well, if you don't remember this place, you really blew your top.
Will you stop talking like that and tell me what's wrong with this place? Why can't I bury you here?
Because if you remembered, you'd know it was the same place you buried Steve.
If I could only remember. If I could only go back beyond that day on the ship, then I would know who I am. Who I really am. He stands there next to me and says, I buried a man in that grave. A man I missed. Oh, if I could only remember.
Come on, Claire. We gotta get out of here.
Max, you've got to tell me about Steve. Why did I kill Steve?
You killed Steve just the way you knocked off that other guy tonight. Maybe he had it coming to him, too. That's your business.
But you didn't tell me why I killed Steve.
Steve Benson was your husband.
Oh, Max. When was the first time you saw me?
The first time? Oh, let's see. 5 years ago.
And I looked as I look now?
Sure. You told me you just had a plastic done because your face was burned. Only between you and me, little old Max didn't fall for your gag about the burn.
Burn, that was true. My face was burned.
Okay, so it was burned.
Now I remember. The boat was one day out of New York. Ralph and I were up on the deck when a fire broke out. I lost him, and then something struck my head. I remember the name of the boat, too, the Tredonia.
Hey, that's that ship that was sunk a way back.
Yes, a way back, Matt. 6 years ago.
Well, then somebody must have picked you out of the water.
What? There were charred bodies in that water. Charred beyond recognition. They looked at me as one of the dead.
Oh, I guess you had what they call that amnesia business, huh?
That day I woke up from that nap in the deck chair. That's the day I stopped seeing Claire Benson and became Claire Kramer again. I was a murderer, and I never knew it. Ralph thought I was dead. He really thought so when I killed him.
Oh, Claire, the cops. Come on, we've got to get out of here.
I've already gotten out, Matt. I'm dead. Dead and buried.
Come on, stop talking that crazy talk. Come on, before it's too late.
It's already 6 years too late, Matt.
Hey, you can't skip the cops by going over the track.
Come on back, Claire, and get in the car! Claire, you can't make it that way to train! Come on! So the cops finally got Claire on those railroad ties. Dead in her tracks. Now she'll have a grave she can call her own. You see what happens, though, when you get amnesia? You forget the people you leave around. Dead. Oh, by the way, for you forgetful wives, there's a moral to tonight's untidy tale. It's from the pen of that absent-minded philosopher, Scatterbad Brain. Always remember, the quickest way to a man's heart is through his chest, with a bullet.
Inner Sanctum was heard in the United States over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and has been rebroadcast for servicemen and women overseas through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
That's the story for this week. If you want to hear more strange tales, just visit RelicRadio.com. You'll find past episodes of this show, more from Inner Sanctum, all the other podcasts, links to our forum, Shoutcast stream, and everything else, Relic Radio. There's a donate button there as well. Pushing on that and donating helps make this all possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales. Strange Tales is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.